Let's get together. We'll say that thou. It's time for Kill Mare Cast. It's time for Kill Mare Cast.
Welcome to a very special episode of Kilmer Cast. I'm your host, Francis Rizzo III, and I'm here to talk about Val Kilmer, one of America's most fascinating actors. Now, in the regular episodes of Kilmer Cast, we cover a specific film and we go in depth on it. But this is a Val Pal episode, and this is an opportunity to simply express our fandom for Val Kilmer. You know, objectivity has no place in these episodes. For today's Val Pal special, our guest is Miranda Watson, an HR professional from Hawaii and a loyal listener of Kilmer Cast. How are you doing today, Miranda?
I'm very excited to be here today.
Thank you so much for joining me. It's funny because I'm in New York, so it is 8 o'clock at night. And for you, it is 2 p.m., right?
Yes, it is.
So your day is just about halfway done and I'm all the way done.
Yep. It definitely feels like a time travel kind of issue.
Watch out for the future. It gets really dark. Well, we're going to get to know you with some questions in our segment that we get to know you. Makes sense, right?
Let's get to know our Val Pal.
So I've got a few questions here, and we'll start with the first one, which is, where are you from originally, and where do you live now?
Okay, so I grew up in Arizona, and I now live in Kona, Hawaii, which is on the Big Island.
The Big Island, the one that everybody knows, right?
Yes, the volcano has made us quite famous as of late.
Now, you know, you could say that they're both, you know, relatively warm climates, right? Arizona and Hawaii. What drew you to Hawaii?
Well, it's very green. That's the big difference, you know. Hawaii is also, you know, Arizona definitely has its winter, and kind of where I'm at in Hawaii, I'm a little bit higher elevation. You can see I have my fuzzy jacket on today. There's snow on Mauna Kea, which is the other volcano with all the controversy, which is where the telescopes are. So anytime there's snow up there, it's kind of cold for us. Like, you know, it can get down to the 40s even, but it was just so green and lush, you know, and it just seemed like, you know, if there were end times, I wouldn't have to worry about water. Whereas in Arizona, I would be in real trouble.
Yeah, definitely Mad Max territory in Arizona.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, obviously, there's big differences between Hawaii and Arizona. What's something that you completely miss from growing up in Arizona that you don't have in Hawaii?
Oh my gosh, good Mexican food. Like, yeah? I am all about tacos. There is like, and like, I know it's not super authentic, but you know, I like all varieties of tacos, mind you, like, but I really like a deep fried corn tortilla shell. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about the places that do tacos here that they never like even offer a fried shell option, even though they'll have like other fried things, like, you know, French fries and onion rings. So it's just like, I definitely miss that authentic Mexican food.
And now what's something in Hawaii that you can't get anywhere else that is really makes you so happy to be there?
Oh gosh, there's so many different things, you know. I'm not going to pick one. I'm going to pick two.
Okay.
So aloha is very tangible here. That's something I will say, that people, there's just really a sense of community and we care, you know, about strangers and, you know, I definitely, that vibe is just a very, something you can really, really feel and immerse yourself into. And then the tropical fruit. So back to it being green and lush, like there are just like things when I'm not in Hawaii that I really crave and miss, like passion fruit and lychee and like, and you know, there's just something really great about, there's bananas growing in my yard. You know, it's just kind of like, for an Arizona girl, it kind of blows my mind on the regular.
Yeah, I mean, tropical fruit is my big thing. I love any kind of citrus fruit, you know, tropical fruit. It's just the best.
It's great. Like where we live right now, we have bananas. We have avocados that grow in our yard. We have a little garden. So there's stuff that we plant ourselves. And then there's nice, really nice little cherry blossom trees. So the cherries are just decorative, but they're beautiful. You know, it's just always a feast for the eyes and for the mouth. We have the guava, which is like a weed. People are just like, oh, it's obnoxious, which you can get out of control, but it's also delicious and makes a great jam.
Yeah, I'd much rather have a delicious weed than, you know, all the stuff that grows in the front yard.
Like ivy or something where it's just like obnoxious and painful.
Yeah, no thank you. So what do you do during the day?
Well, you know, I work, of course, so there's that. And then, you know, when we're off on weekends and whatever, you know, we go to the beach, we go, you know, hang out, we sit at home and watch Netflix, just spend time in our garden, you know, just like everybody else. But, you know, it is nice because it's just like, if you're bored or whatever, you can drive 40 minutes in any direction and you could get all kinds of different, you know, you can get to the desert, you can get up to the mountains, you can get to the beach, you know, any kind of like nature that you're craving, pretty much you can get your fill here.
Yeah. I mean, here it's a lot of just the same in, you know, on Long Island. You know,
yes.
I imagine it's nice to be able to, you know, be, oh, there is the ocean right there. I mean, not that there's not an ocean around Long Island, but it's not quite the same as the ocean around Hawaii.
Yeah, and you know, exactly. And it's just like, not as long as a drive. It seems pretty centralized wherever you are. It's not, it's like an hour away at the most, maybe, depending. But yeah, it's really quite different from Arizona, but that's one thing that actually Arizona and Hawaii have in common, is that Arizona and Hawaii both have the most diverse, like most number of the different ecosystems that there are, whatever it is, you know. Like, it's Arizona's missing one or two, in Hawaii the same thing, like the Sahara or whatever they don't have, and they don't have like the Arctic or whatever. But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, it's good
stuff.
That's
funny, because I don't think most people think of Arizona being very different. They think of just a lot of desert.
I know that when I took some friends there from New York, you know, to school in New York, that's how Francis and I know each other, is went to school at Hofstra together. Yep. And so I took a handful of friends to Arizona for spring break one year, and they were all expecting like desert sand dunes. And they were just like, oh, there's trees and it's green in places. I was like, yeah, like I was surprised. I didn't even realize that that's what they were thinking of until we got there. Like, they didn't realize, like, because we really didn't talk about it until we got there, you know. It was just like, we're gonna go horseback riding, you know, and that kind of thing. But yeah.
And what do you do for a living?
So yeah, I work, I am an HR professional, as you said. I'm an HR coordinator for a company that grows algae and produces supplements out of that algae. So we make two products. We make a spirulina, Hawaiian Pacifica spirulina, and then we make a product called BioAstin, which is a very rich antioxidant product. What I love about it is that I'm very Celtic and Irish, and it's actually like an internal sunscreen. Like, you take it and it helps protect your skin from the inside out. Like, so I can go out on a boat for 8 hours now and I don't get burned, which is, so it's definitely a place that I'm proud to work at.
Yeah, that's something that somebody who's Irish like us really
utilize. Yeah, I'm gonna have to send you some bottles.
I turned into a lobster in the sun.
Yes, I mean, it doesn't seem to matter how many times you reapply the sunscreen either. And especially here where the sun is closer to the equator, you know, it's pretty intense.
I imagine so. I mean, this is your first HR position, correct?
Well, it's my first official HR title, but I worked at a natural food store, and I was an assistant manager there, and I had a lot of HR responsibilities with that role.
So what's something about HR that you didn't know coming into it that you now have learned as somebody who's a professional in it?
That a background in psychology is really, really helpful. You're going to be asking yourself a lot, like, why?
I imagine questioning common sense is something that comes up a lot. If I have my experience with HR has anything to say about it.
So often, just so often. It's just like, that was an interesting choice.
I imagine there's a bit of kindergarten teacher mentality in it, because you just go, you look at the person and go, why did you do that?
Like, there was this option and this option, but way to keep it spicy.
Keep me employed.
Yep. Oh yes, job security is endless in HR, that's for sure.
So next question is, if you were at a buffet, what's the first thing that goes on your plate?
Oh, cheese.
And any particular cheese in mind there?
No, like, I'm gonna hit the cheese and make sure that there's room for that. And then, like, I mean, depending on the buffet too, like, I'm probably gonna go for something deep fried, you know,
chicken wing.
I mean, and if there's crab legs, then definitely.
Oh yeah.
Like, the crab legs for sure.
It's funny when we go, because, you know, I don't know if we'll ever go again to a buffet, because right. You know, that's kind of a strange thing now.
Oh my gosh, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how these places are going to survive, if they are at all.
Now that we're all really thinking about it, like bowling alleys and
yeah, anything where you're touching other people's stuff, probably, you know, anywhere hands go where other people's hands are. Yeah. And
around food, especially.
Because I always, Teja de Brazil is one of my favorite buffet places. Even though most of it's just brought to your table, they have an excellent like appetizer buffet, and they have the just fantastic mozzarella cheese and all these, you know, and lobster bisque and stuff like that. And so those two are my key go-tos when I go to the buffets. Mozzarella cheese, just like you cheese, and some lobster bisque soup. I'll never pass up a lobster bisque.
I'm totally into a bisque anytime, a good bisque. And it's funny because like my sister lives in Boston, so we'll go to Cape Cod for the summer to vacation. And there's this great Brazilian, you know, place where they come and, you know, shave the meats and give mm-hmm. you the selection right at the table. But then there's a huge buffet too. And as good as the meats are, they're delicious. Like my favorite thing are these beans that this place has. Like I just eat so many of the beans. I get like a big tub and take them like home. So yeah, it definitely depends on where I'm at, but like in general, cheese, crab legs.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Probably to instill empathy and understanding in other people's hearts.
That's a very Miranda answer. Now be totally selfful and just say what you really want.
Talk to animals.
Yeah, that's a great one. Dr. Doolittle totally. Powers.
And maybe control them a little bit, maybe.
Like. Yeah, a little bit of like quality to my side, you know, help me fight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know.
That'd be quite a power to have, especially, you know, trying to deal with some people, some environmental issues. You could be like, let's do this.
Yeah, it's on now. Like, oh, now we do fight back. What?
Love to take on some hunters.
Right, exactly. Well, oh my gosh, that like team of women who like protect the gorillas in that one sanctuary from poachers, like I'm like, that's my dream job. Like I'm sanctioned to shoot jerks who try to kill gorillas. Like I could feel good about that.
Yeah, there's something very warm and that warms your heart when you see a poacher get shot or stomped by an elephant or something like that.
Exactly.
It's like an angel gets their wings.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then the final question is, would you rather have any food that you eat between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. take away a cherished memory, or have your fingers spontaneously detach every time you hear the word banana?
So do my fingers stay detached?
No, they reattach. But every time you hear the word banana, they pop off. And then they pop back on.
Come back. Okay. Then banana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think that'd be a problem?
Well, yeah, but like, I don't want to forget my treasured memories either. Like,
well, it's only when you eat between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. You could start doing like intermittent fasting and then, you know.
I mean, actually, that would be no problem for me. Like, I don't really eat between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. anyway, as long as I can have coffee still.
I don't know. That's a loophole there.
It's my favorite. I love loopholes. Okay. You know what? Now you put it that way and I think about how often I actually eat between 9 and 5, I'm going to go with that. Cause you know, I can keep the memories. I can.
Yeah. And I don't want my fingers coming off. That's weird. Especially if you're carrying something important and somebody yelled banana, you know,
I know that's true.
And you know, there's going to be some jerk who finds out about it and just starts following you around yelling banana, 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 banana.
Ooh, you know, the people in my life. Clearly. Well, plus I'm HR, so you know, people,
yeah,
they want to mess with me.
Well, based on your responses, you received a 4. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel good about it. Yeah, it's like a nice even number.
Interesting.
Like my favorite number growing up.
Very interesting. Well, let's talk Val Kilmer.
You never forget your first time.
So what was the first time you saw a Val Kilmer film?
Okay, So I had to call my mom and confirm, but it was definitely Willow. And it was definitely like at home, we had rented it. And like, I'll just never forget it. It was magical. You know, it's funny. Mad Mardigan's so charming, but you know, love me a bad boy, you know, like, and then, you know, it had like three strong women characters in it. Like, yeah. I know, like, as you broke it down in the KilmerCast episode, it's kind of like, yeah, about the brownies, but like, of course, as a kid, they're hysterical and just entertaining.
They work for you when you're little, but later
totally. It was totally one of the movies that I brought to college with me, like, because I watched it over and over. In fact, I probably still have that VHS copy somewhere.
It's an interesting one to start with, for sure, because it's, you know, you're after his first, you know, establishing roles, his Real Genius, his Top Secrets. This is really more of a character, because the other ones feel like him, basically. Like, totally. You know, this is actually something that, you know, it still has his charm. It still has his wit and all that, but it is definitely a character, because it's just this warrior kind of guy who, you know, at the same time, it is very much Val Kilmer.
Yes, absolutely. I agree completely. Like, it's him, that charming, charismatic core, but then he has to add these layers to it that he wouldn't necessarily have to stretch to do so much in your Top Genius, the Top Secret or Real Genius, all that. So.
I like Top Genius. That could be like a little crossover.
Could we have that? Because like, the characters are similar enough. Do it.
Yeah, or have him playing two roles at the same time.
And he would love that. Like, he would love it. Because he'd be like, oh yeah, I got this.
Well, now we know what your first Val Kilmer is. So let's figure out what your top three Val Kilmers are.
My top Gilmers.
So we will start with number three and count up to number one. So first up.
Three.
What is your number three Val Kilmer film?
I'm going to have to go with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Wow, interesting choice. Why is that?
I just, you know, it just had been a minute. I felt like, it was just so refreshingly Kilmer, you know, and it felt like a role that he could really sink his teeth into, you know, and it just, I could just imagine what was on the script and what he brought to the table, you know, like you could kind of just feel that in that role. And I just felt like I hadn't seen that in a minute by the time I had seen that movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely is somebody who likes to put a little more into the script than what's there on the paper. He's known to rewrite things. So I wouldn't doubt that he did that on that film. And definitely, like you said, it was a little while since we saw him do that good a role. It was kind of in that time period where he wasn't on the top of his game, unfortunately. And that really, you know, reminds you, hey, this is still Val Kilmer.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's find out what number two is.
Two.
Your number two Val Kilmer film.
Heat.
Okay, we're staying in that drama crime kind of feel. So why Heat?
Well, you know, it just, like, you know, you and I had a whole like conversation about after the episode, and I do wish that there had been more, but like, I just really enjoyed his character. I enjoyed the dynamics between him and Ashley Judd, between him and Robert De Niro. And it's, I had a hard time being like, okay, well, like, what do I like Kilmer, you know, and what is like a good movie all around? And so like, he's just so undeniably good as a whole package, like that I want to acknowledge Kilmer's part in that, you know, because I just don't think it would have been the same. Like, looking at all the names of the people who maybe could have, you know, were considered, I don't think any of them could have brought to the table what he did. I think that dynamic of the, you know, hitting that anger that he has in that moment with Ashley Judd, and that kind of like puppy dog loyalty as well with De Niro. Like, I just don't think that anybody does that as well as Kilmer could have.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. It definitely would have been nice to have more in here, but he was the only one of the main characters to survive. As far as we're aware, he survived the whole thing. So
yes, absolutely. And it doesn't really like seem that way. Like, you know, you kind of paint and it's like, oh, he's getting into this relationship trouble, and you just expect, you know, things to kind of go sour for him, especially in the street, you know, shootout scene.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like, it's definitely kind of a cute little twist, especially since it's kind of looking like, you know, she's going to turn and all that. Like, I really enjoy the way that that all plays out for him in the movie.
Certainly. And then we have number one.
Number one.
Well, you gotta go back to that first time. Like, there just isn't anything I loved him as much as Willow.
Okay. You know, I can't argue with that. It's, you know, definitely, if it's one of the first films you've seen him in, it makes such an impact. That's the thing, is that he is that film. You know, even though Willow, obviously the character of Willow is massive part of that film, and such a great, just a great performance, you know, and all around good. But without Mad Mardigan, that's not a movie.
Right, absolutely not. I mean, it's just not a movie I would want to watch over and over again anyway.
And he gave it humor, he gave it heart, he gave it, you know, just that action, that, you know, swashbuckling style. He really
humor, like, I mean, it just, he really brings it all to the table in that. It's just like, you know, if there were any, I mean, I have to say that I would probably watch a whole other movie about his character in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. But like, I definitely would love to see a whole Mad Mardigan movie. Like, I could totally see in the, like, what happens to him and Saoirse. Like, I would totally have tuned into that. You know?
Yeah. I'm curious because they are doing a Willow series for Disney Plus. But there's been no talk if Val Kilmer's involved. So I'm curious if he will be at all.
I sure hope so. Like, I just think it would be a miss if they don't. Like, for, I mean, I don't feel like maybe I speak for all Willow fans, but I am certainly a huge Willow fan. And I know I would be disappointed if he's not involved at all.
Yeah, especially after he comes back for Top Gun 2, you know, let's bring him back for Willow. I mean, yeah. I get it that he's not going to be Mad Mardigan anymore because of what's happened to him. But Mad Mardigan doesn't have to be Mad Mardigan anymore. It's been, time has passed. So, you know, he could be something else.
Mad Mardigan was kind of like a grumpy old man in a swashbuckling young body anyway. So why don't we get to see grumpy old man Mardigan? Like, I would totally be into that.
Yeah, be very much like, you know, Luke in the new Star Wars films. You know, he could be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I'm over this. Or, you know, I can totally see like that plot line where it's like his kid is getting involved in the adventure and he's like, oh boy, you don't want to do this. Yeah. But here, let me help you.
Yeah, I definitely would be into him mentoring Willow's kid, you know, and or a Laura, you know, and saying, hey, you know, let's do this, let's go on an adventure.
Like, uncle, have to go see Uncle Mad, you know. And I can just see him like brewing some kind of like moonshine or something.
Yeah, I can easily see that at the end of the first episode, you know, cliffhanger when they walk in and there he is, turns around and it's like Mad Mardigan, and it's like
like he's still behind him and the brownies just hanging out there.
I don't know if I need the brownies, but we'll see.
Like Miranda from the first viewing, she still has the brownies in her heart. I think we could make them cool. We could make it better.
Give it another shot.
Yeah.
Well, we have now talked about Val Kilmer in your top three. So why don't we play a game?
Two truths and a lie, Val Pal edition.
So I'm going to give you three facts about Val Kilmer. Two of them are true. One of them is not. And you have to decide which one is not true.
Okay.
So here are your three facts.
Okay.
Number one, he turned down a role in David Lynch's Blue Velvet. Number two, he starred in an after-school special with Michelle Pfeiffer. And number three, he was asked to tour with the remaining members of The Doors as Jim Morrison. Which one of those three is false? And you can talk it out. And
my goodness, like, I can't see him turning down a role in Blue Velvet unless he had something else going on and I'm not, like, you know, smart enough to be like, well, he was doing this that year.
Well, I mean, so, he definitely made time when he wanted to work with somebody because he would fly back and forth from sets just to be able to be in Heat, and he was on Batman at the time.
That's a good point. Okay. Like, I really want number two to be true, so I'm gonna say number three, that they did not ask him to
despite the fact that he sang just like Jim Morrison in the movies, and The Doors said that he actually sounded better than Morrison in many ways.
Wow. Despite that, I know he was despite really that. good, but I just feel like maybe the rest of the band was like, nah.
Are you sure? Final answer.
I know it's wrong, but I'm going to go with it.
Well, the true one, the one true one is he did turn down a role in David Lynch's Blue Velvet. That's true. And also true was he starred in an after school special with Michelle Pfeiffer. So yes, he did not get asked to tour with the Doors. You are correct. You know you're Val Kilmer.
I just know my Doors and bands. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I think you actually, your reasoning was very good because you were like, well, the rest of the band might not like them because they definitely all argued with each other. So
yeah.
I could definitely see them not agreeing on anything.
Do you need another Jim?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they would have been happy to be like, yeah, we're good without Jim Morris.
And you've done that. Because I would imagine like Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison was just as strong as a personality to deal with.
Oh, I believe so. Well, thank you, Miranda, for joining me to chat about Val Kilmer. Do you want to know, let people know where they can find you online?
You know, not, I don't really have a social media presence. I'm just like a gal online. So, but you know, if you're interested in our product, our brand name is Nutrex, and it really is, you know, a great product, especially for those fair skinned of us and anybody who works out or a lot. It's great for muscle recovery, and the spirulina is great for, you know, a great immune booster and stuff like that. So
very cool. Is that Nutrex.com?
Yes.
Okay, great. Nutrex.com. Well, that's it for this special Val Pal edition of KilmerCast. We'll be back to cover another entry in the Kilmer canon. But in the meanwhile, please send any thoughts, questions, or comments to KilmerCast@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter @KilmerCast. From my guest, Miranda Watson, and myself, thank you for listening, and remember to keep it Kilmer.